This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we started the story of the Battle of Badr, the circumstances that led to this battle, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out in a hurry, and how after some initial resistance from some of the companions, when initially they were hoping to raid the caravan of Abu Sufyan, things changed, and so they realized they were heading into a battle with the army of Quraysh, and so there was some resistance from some of the companions to continue. But after that initial resistance, how we looked at how the final word of the companions was to proceed. And then the last thing that we mentioned was how Quraysh, fired up by Abu Jahl, were determined to continue on to Badr, even after being notified by Abu Sufyan that he managed to escape and the caravan was safe. And so that was the last thing that we mentioned last week. And so now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeds towards Badr, and he wanted to gather information, intelligence on the whereabouts of the army of Quraysh and also the whereabouts of the caravan. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out with Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and they stopped by an old man from the Bedouin, and they asked him about Quraysh. But notice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him about Quraysh and also asked him about the Muslims, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr left as spies. So they didn't want to make it seem as if they were the Muslims. So they asked this Bedouin, "Have you seen Quraysh, their army? Have you seen the Muslims and their army?" And so the old man, he said, "I'm not going to tell you anything until you first tell me who you are." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you tell us, then we will tell you." And so the man said, "Should it be this for that?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." And then the man, he said, "I heard that Muhammad and his companions went out on such and such day. If that's true, then today they should be in such and such place," referring to the place where the Prophet ﷺ actually was. And then he said, "And I heard that Quraysh went out on such and such day, and if it is true, then today they should be at such and such place." When he finished, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Now it's your turn, who are you?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nahnu min ma'." He said, "We're from water." And then before the man could say anything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. He left him. The man was asking, "What does that mean? What does it mean you're from water? Is it from ma'ul Iraq, the water, meaning the river of Iraq?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply walked away. Why? So that the man could not ask him any more questions. And so what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mean when he gave this answer? Obviously what he meant is that all of us are created from water. And so the point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to get valuable information on the location and the whereabouts of Quraysh. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to his companions, and then he sent out Ali ibn Abi Talib, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awam, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas with a number of the companions to go and gather some more information. So they reached the wells of Badr and found two servants fetching water for the army of Quraysh. These companions arrested these two men and took them back to the Muslims. Then they started to interrogate them. And so they asked them, "Who are you guys?" And so they said, "We are from the army of Quraysh. We went out to get water for them." And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they didn't like the answer. It wasn't the answer they were hoping for. The Sahaba thought that these two men actually belonged to the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And remember what we mentioned earlier. The Sahaba wanted the caravan. And so even until now, they hope that perhaps these two men belong to the caravan and they can now tell us where the caravan is. And so they didn't like the answer, so they started beating them. And they asked them again. You know, basically the purpose of them beating them is to get the answer they want from them. So the two men, they finally gave in to the torture and they said, "We belong to the caravan of Abu Sufyan." And so, meanwhile, where was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He had been praying salah. So after he had completed his salah, he came and he started to rebuke the companions. He started criticizing them. He said, "When they told you the truth, you beat them. And when they lied, you left them alone. When they told you the truth that we belong to the army, not the caravan, you started beating them. But then when they said we belong to the caravan, so now they're lying, you left them." And then after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took things in his own hands and he started to interrogate these two men himself. Because the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they weren't asking the right questions and they weren't getting anywhere. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked them, "How many are the army of Quraysh?" The two men, they said, "Many." But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted a more specific answer. He said, "What is their number exactly?" And so they said, "We don't know." So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, "How many camels do they slaughter every day?" So the men said, "In one day they would slaughter 10 camels, the next day they would slaughter 9. And so the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, Al-Qawm, the people of Quraysh, are between 900 and 1,000. And so he figured this out by the number of camels that they were slaughtering and eating. So for every 10 men, for every 100 men, there would be one camel that they would eat from. And so what was the actual number of Quraysh? It was approximately 950. And so look at the precision of the Prophet ﷺ. As for the Muslims, we know that they were just a little over 300. And so the Muslims were a third of the army of Quraysh. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked them, who from the nobles of Quraysh are among them? The Prophet ﷺ wanted to know who's come out. Obviously, he knows these people. They are his own people. But he wants to know who's there. Who are they going to be facing off against? And so the two men started to mention names. They said Utba, Shayba ibn Rabi'a, Abu Jahl, Umayya ibn Khalaf, among other leaders of Quraysh. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he was amazed. He never thought that their leaders would come out. And so he turned to the companions and he said, here is Mecca. Alqat ilaykum alfadhi kabidiha. Here is Mecca, having thrown to you its core, its cream, its best, its leaders, basically. And so once the Prophet ﷺ got this valuable information that he was looking for on the army of Quraysh, he immediately took off with his army to the wells of Badr, in order to beat Quraysh to it and have access to the water while preventing the enemy from having any access to it. And so when they reached the wells of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the location of his army to be by the nearest well. So as soon as they reached there, he said, let's camp here by the nearest well. There were more wells up ahead, but he said, let's stay here. So one of the Ansar, Al-Hubab ibn al-Mundhir, radiallahu anhu, he gets up and he asks the Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, is this the place that Allah has revealed to you that we should stop here, we should camp here and not advance any further? Or is it a matter of opinion in warfare tactics and strategy? And so look at how this companion asked the question. If it was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he was satisfied. If it's from Allah, then all is good. We'll stay here. But if it was a question of military tactics, strategy, then this companion, Al-Hubab, he had something different to say. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam answered him and said that it's a matter of opinion. I thought that this is a suitable place to stop. And so Al-Hubab, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is not a good place. He said, let us continue to the last well. And when we get there, because that last well will be in the direction of the enemy. When they come, that's where they're going to stop. He said, let's continue to the last well. And then let's camp there. Let's stop there. And then all the previous wells, let's destroy them. And then let's construct a reservoir, a huge tank or pond of water. Let's fill it with water so that we'll have plenty of water that will be accessible to only us. As for Quraysh, they won't have any access to any water. And so we will have water to drink and they won't have any water to drink. And so when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he agreed and he said it's an excellent plan, and he commanded that they go accordingly. Now Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, also one of the leaders of the Ansar, he also had a suggestion for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I think we should make a barricade for you. He said, if we the Muslims, we win, then alhamdulillah, all is good. That's what we came here for. But if we are defeated, then we want you to survive. And we want you to go back to Medina and join the rest of the companions who were left behind. Because they love you as much as we do. And they would love to be here with us. And if they knew that we were going to fight today, they would have joined us. They would not have stayed behind. And so Sa'd radiallahu anhu here, basically, he was most probably talking about a huge group of the companions from the Ansar, and specifically from Al-Aws. We mentioned that the Muslim army was approximately 300. The Muhajirun from Mecca were approximately 86. The number of Al-Aws was 61, and the number from Al-Khazraj was 170. So why such a huge difference between the Aws and the Khazraj, who combined make up the Ansar of Al-Medina? So we can see here, Al-Aws was only approximately 61 men, but Al-Khazraj were 170. The reason for this is that the homes of Al-Aws were in the upper part of Al-Medina, Al-Awali. And we mentioned last week that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam announced to the companions, he left in a hurry. And he told everyone, let's go, we're leaving now. And we're not waiting for anyone. And so there were some, they said, our homes are on the outskirts of Al-Medina. Will you allow us to go get ready and come? The Prophet ﷺ said no. And so for this reason, many of the Al-Aws were not able to make it. And that's why we have this huge difference in the numbers. So the majority of the Ansar were from Al-Khazraj for this reason. And so the point here is that Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, we have companions back in Al-Medina who couldn't make it. If we're defeated on this day, then you can go back and carry on your mission with them. They will fight with you. And so the Prophet ﷺ also accepted this idea. And so here the companions are offering their suggestions, their ideas that are all related to military tactics and strategy. And the Prophet ﷺ was accepting their ideas. And so they ended up making an elevated barricade for the Prophet ﷺ, where he had the vantage point and he could see everything that was happening in the battle. And so they made this barricade for him, and the Prophet ﷺ ended up staying there with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, while Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, along with some of the youth of the Ansar, were their bodyguards guarding this barricade. Now, it doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ remained in this barricade throughout the battle. No, as we will see, the Prophet ﷺ came out and participated in the battle. But this was a place where he initially stayed, and it makes sense that the leader should be in a position where he is protected and fortified. So now, Quraysh, they arrive at Badr. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Quraysh coming forward into the valley from their position behind the sand hill, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Allah, here come Quraysh in their vanity and their pride, contending with you and calling your messenger a liar. O Allah, grant the help which you have promised me, destroy them in the morning." And so this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he first saw the army. Now, when Quraysh arrived, they started to dispute among themselves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to pick it up. He noticed that a dispute arose among them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, when the Muslims reached Badr and the Mushrikun reached, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, one of the leaders of Quraysh, who was riding a red camel. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If there is any good in any of them, it will be with the man on the red camel. If they obey him, then they will go in the right direction." Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this? Let's see what led to this dispute among Quraysh. Why were they fighting now among themselves? When Quraysh reached Badr and they saw the Muslim army, they sent Umayr ibn Wahab to scout, to go and scout and look at the Muslim army and bring back information on their numbers, on their strength, on their military power. Do they have any groups hiding behind, you know, in case they're defeated? Are they gonna attack us? And so Umayr did that. And then he went back to Quraysh and he said, "O Quraysh, what I saw was camels bearing death. There are people whose only aid and refuge are their swords. I swear I don't foresee any of them being killed before he kills one of you. And if they kill of you a like number as their own, what good will it be to live after that? Consider carefully." Meaning, think about it carefully. Do you want to proceed or not? So this Umayr ibn Wahab, had gone and saw the army of the Muslims, and he saw it as being quite small. But when he looked at their faces, he saw death. He saw men who were willing to die. And so now, Hakim ibn Hizam, one of the men of Quraysh, he later on becomes a Muslim, but in the Battle of Badr he was on the side of Quraysh. Hakim ibn Hizam, he goes to Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Who was Utbah? The man riding the red camel. So Hakim goes to Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and he says, "Oh Utbah, shall I suggest something that if you were to do it, you will carry the honor of this day until the end of time?" Utbah asked him what he wanted to say. So Hakim said, "I suggest that you withdraw this force back to Mecca, and that you take care of the blood of your ally, Al-Hadrami." What's he talking about here? We mentioned 2 weeks ago, when we spoke about the Saraya, the expeditions that the Prophet ﷺ sent out to raid. And one of them was very significant. That was the Sariya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh, where Abdullah ibn Jahsh and his men, they went all the way into enemy territory and they attacked a caravan. And it was the first time that the Muslims had killed someone. Who did they kill? This caravan was guarded by four men and one of them was killed. He was Al-Hadrami. He was Amr Al-Hadrami, the first person to die from Quraysh. So another reason for the Battle of Badr was to avenge the death of Al-Hadrami. And so Utbah, he was an ally of this Hadrami. And so Hakim was telling him to spare the battle and instead go to the family of Al-Hadrami and give them blood money. And so Utbah, he liked the idea. However, he couldn't do this on his own. And so they needed to get the approval of not just the leaders of Quraysh, but specifically Abu Jahl. And so Utbah then stands up and says, "O Quraysh, by fighting Muhammad's companions, you will accomplish nothing. If you attack him, each of you will always be looking at others who will always dislike looking back at you. You will be known to have killed their cousins or a member of their tribe. Go home and leave Muhammad up to the other Arabs. If they kill him, that will be accomplishing your aims. And if otherwise, he will find you not to have been exposed to the risk of what you now plan." So what Utbah was saying here basically is that to fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would mean fighting their own people. Also, that if the Arabs, the other Arabs, kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that is good for us. At least we would not be the ones who killed him. And if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wins against the other Arabs, then at least they won't come to take revenge from Quraysh. So he was basically saying it's a win-win situation if we withdraw and leave him to the other Arabs. Now, while Utbah was speaking to Quraysh, Hakim ibn Hizam goes to Abu Jahl to try to convince him. And so he goes to Abu Jahl and he tells him what he told Utbah, basically, that it's better for you to withdraw. And so Abu Jahl says, Utbah did not find anyone else to send but you. And so Hakim in response said that Utbah could have sent someone else, but he wouldn't have been a messenger for anyone except Utbah. You know, what do you mean that Utbah couldn't send anyone else but me? Whoever would bring you this news, he would be a messenger of Utbah. So then Abu Jahl, he said, I swear, he starts attacking Utbah. He says, I swear, his lungs are filled with terror when he saw Muhammad and his men. By God, we will not return until God decides the matter between us and Muhammad. Utbah is not sincere in what he says. He sees Muhammad and his men as fodder for camels awaiting slaughter, and his own son is there among them. He is scaring you for his own sake. What Abu Jahl was basically saying here is that we are going to slaughter the Muslims and we are going to win this battle. And what he was saying here was that Utbah, his real fear is his son who became a Muslim and who is there in the Muslim army. He doesn't want to see his son killed. And that is why he was trying to withdraw. So this is what Abu Jahl says. And then Abu Jahl, he goes to the brother of Amr al-Hadrami. And he says, your ally, your protector, Utbah, wants to withdraw the army back. Go and inspire the army. Go and entice them. And so the brother of Amr al-Hadrami, he goes to the army and screams, for the sake of Amr, for the sake of Amr. And then he marches in front of the army, rallying them and inspiring them to fight. And so now, the mood for warfare becomes heated, and the attitudes of the forces hardened, and now they became determined to fight. While Utbah and his advice was ignored. Now what does Utbah do when he hears what Abu Jahl said about him? He says, that fellow with the filthy yellow backside will find out whether it's me or him whose lungs are filled with terror. And so not only did Abu Jahl sweep the entire army with anger, but he also made Utbah angry. And to prove that Abu Jahl was wrong, Utbah proceeded, as we're going to see when we talk about how the war started, Utbah proceeded to be the first one who advances to ask for a duel with the Muslims, a one-on-one fight. This is before the battle even started. And so this shows you how influential this devil Abu Jahl was. And there are so many examples of it, but this is only one. And so now coming back to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he saw and he noticed that Quraysh, they're disputing among themselves, we now see why he said what he said. So basically, Quraysh split into two groups. One that was willing to withdraw and go back to Mecca, and the other who were determined to fight. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, if there is any good in them, it will be with the man on the red camel, meaning Utbah. If they listen to his advice, then that's good for them. If they obey him, then they will go the right way. But as we know, that is not what ended up happening. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the scene when the two armies arrived at Badr. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ أَنْتُمْ بِالْعُدْوَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ بِالْعُدْوَةِ الْقُصْوَى وَالرَّكْبُ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ وَلَكِنْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, when you, the Muslims, were on the near side of the valley of Badr, and your enemy was on the far side, وَالرَّكْبُ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, and the caravan was below you, meaning the caravan was by the sea. The caravan of Abu Sufyan, he escaped and he took the route along the sea. Allah says, even if the two armies had made an appointment to meet, both would have certainly missed this appointment. لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَسَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Still, it transpired so that Allah may establish what He had destined, that those who were to perish and those who were to survive might do so after the truth had been made clear to both. Surely Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Now, what does it mean here when Allah says, Al-mi'ad, لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ, that if you had made an appointment with Quraysh, you would have missed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that this battle did not take place as planned. The Muslims did not have an appointment with Quraysh, and Quraysh did not have an appointment with the Muslims. The Muslims had left Al-Madinah for the sake of the caravan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set a date for the meeting of the Muslims, not with the caravan, but rather with the army of Quraysh. And so the Muslims did not want to meet Quraysh for battle. Nor did a group of Quraysh, as we mentioned. In fact, even Abu Sufyan, once he had escaped and he felt he was safe, he sent a message to the army of Quraysh to stop, don't proceed, don't continue, go back to Mecca. But they were too arrogant. Also, some among Quraysh knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed the messenger of Allah. And we'll mention this, perhaps next week, a story of one of the members of Quraysh who did not want to leave with the army because of the dream of the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Atika. When she saw a dream, we mentioned it last week. And so there were some who, they were hesitant. They didn't want to leave because deep down inside they knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed the messenger of Allah. And if that is the case, then he has the backing of Allah. But why didn't they become Muslims? Because of their arrogance, because of their pride. And this is what we call kufr al-istikbar, the kufr of arrogance, pride. You know, tribal pride. We belong to Quraysh, and we're not going to leave the religion of our forefathers. Right? And so the point here is that both the Muslims and Quraysh, they didn't want to have this battle. They didn't plan it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a different plan, as Allah says here. لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ, so that whoever perishes, he perishes after evidence, and whoever survives, he survives after seeing the truth. And so we will stop here and continue the story of the Battle of Badr next week, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so now we go on to some of the lessons that we learn from this segment of the story. The first lesson that we learn is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just the right qualities of a military leader. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not just a messenger and a prophet of Allah. He was also a teacher. He was a father, he was a husband. He was a guide, and he was also a leader and a military leader. And we can see his qualities of being a military leader in how he went about gathering information and intelligence about the enemy. We also saw his qualities as a military leader in how he made sure that the Muslims, any of their information is also not leaked out to the enemy. When he met that old man, he made sure that this old man doesn't know who they are, so that he then goes and gives the information to Quraysh. And before all of this, we saw how he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mobilized everyone when leaving Al-Madinah, not telling anyone where they were going, simply telling them, let's go, we have to leave. At once, there's no time. And so they were clueless as to where they were going. And in a hadith in Bukhari, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never leave for any battle, except that he would make it appear as if he was going somewhere else, not in the direction of the battle. So all of this shows the wisdom and the intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he was fit to be a military leader. The second lesson that we learn is the freedom of the companions to voice their concerns, to give their opinions, their input. And so we see this in the story of Al-Hubab ibn al-Mundhir radiallahu an, and how he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the location that he chose for the Muslim army. He chose the nearest well. And so this Sahabi radiallahu an, he objected. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reprimand him. He did not tell him to get back in his lane. He didn't demote him, which is what would happen in any other army if a soldier was to object to the military leader. We also see here the adab of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum when dealing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how this Sahabi did not just give his input, his suggestion, just like that. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, I disagree with you, with your idea of stopping here. Instead, we should go to such and such place. No. What did the Sahabi do first? He asked him, Ya Rasulullah, is this revelation from Allah? Is Allah telling you to stop here? And so once he got the green light, and he saw that this is not revelation from Allah, but rather it's simply the opinion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he gave his suggestion. And so look at the manners and the adab of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Yes, they were free to voice their opinions, but they did it in the best of manners, without any disrespect. And we also see how they understood the value of the wahi, and the revelation. That whatever Allah and His Messenger say, if it's based on revelation from Allah, then سَمْعًا وَطَاعَةً. We hear and we obey. Here there's no room for objection. If it's coming from Allah, we're going to do it because our opinions don't matter. Our opinions have no value when it comes to what Allah has decided. Even if we may see things a different way. But if there is room for discussion, if there is room for opinion, then that is where we will give our opinions. The third lesson that we learn, although the kuffar may show off their military prowess and their might, and they may show how they are all together and united deep down inside, they are cowards filled with fear, and they are divided among themselves, and they have bitterness and animosity towards one another. And we see this in the hesitation of many of them to proceed, to continue in this battle, even after they reached the battlefield. And so there was this infighting that ensued between their leaders, and it showed their true colors. And so we should never think that when the kuffar show off their might, their military power, we shouldn't be deceived into thinking that, you know, we have no power against them, they're all united, they have all this strength. No, the opposite is true. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Yahud of Al-Madinah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Their bitterness for each other is intense. Their animosity towards one another is intense. You think that they're united, but yet their hearts are divided. And so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the reality of the situation. The fourth lesson that we learn is that among the camp of the disbelievers, there are voices of reason. There are men of wisdom. There are people who are moderate. However, when it comes to it being a battle against Islam, when it is a religious war with the intention of defeating the truth, the religion of Allah, that is when these voices of reason and moderation are swept aside by the voices of fanaticism and extremism, the likes of Abu Jahl. And so this is important to mention, because sometimes we think that since the enemies of Allah among the kuffar, there are people who are anti-war, they're moderate, or they are supportive of Muslim causes, then we start thinking that these voices will overcome the other voices of extremism. And so that could be the case if it was a battle between kufr and kufr. However, we have to understand that when it comes to fighting the messengers of Allah or the followers of the Anbiya of Allah, then the case is different. And so Abu Sufyan, didn't he urge the army to go back? Wasn't he representing a voice of reason? Utbah, didn't he also represent a voice of reason and tell Quraysh to withdraw? There was also a group, Banu Zahra, who were led by Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, who refused to participate in the Battle of Badr because they refused to fight against their own brothers. And so even among the kuffar, you have people who are wise, you have peace activists, You have moderates, but their voices are drowned by the voices of extremism, like that of Abu Jahl. And so when it comes to dealing with the Muslims, these voices of reason are drowned and they have no value. This is because Shaytan is out there to convince his followers that the followers of Islam need to be wiped off the face of the earth. And so this is something that we Muslims really need to pay attention to and realize. The last lesson that we can learn is how this battleground was the ultimate proof of Iman and Kufr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So those who were to perish and those who were to survive, they may do so only after the truth has been made clear to both of them. Meaning that whoever dies in this battle, they will die after seeing proof of the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this battle to take place. No matter what, even if there's resistance from both sides, Allah wanted it to take place for this reason. For this very reason, as Allah says. And so, whoever dies, he will die after seeing the proof of the truth. Also, whoever lives and survives, he will do so after witnessing the truth. And so we'll talk about, you know, what these proofs are as we get into the thick of the battle. But basically, after all odds were against the Muslims, they still managed to defeat their enemy. And that is a clear proof of the truth that the Prophet ﷺ was sent with. It couldn't be denied anymore after this. How is it that an army of 1,000 is defeated by an army of only 300? And so this is why that day is referred to as, by Allah Himself, in Surah Al-Anfal, as يَوْمُ الْفُرْقَانِ, the day of criterion, the day to distinguish between the truth and falsehood. And so this is where we will conclude for today, insha'Allah ta'ala. And next week, we will continue the story of the Battle of Badr. Until then, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.